This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tracy hits the second. 4-point lead. Wisconsin into Blackwell. Launching at the buzzer. Ducks win at number 11, Wisconsin.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Dreisaitl, league's leading goal scorer. Emerson, it sticks. That's his own backscan.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Ryan Gold up and over for Brian White. Gets the inside track, goes down. And is it a free kick? Is it a penalty?
Yeah, it's Kamal Miller's in big trouble.
Red card.
Big trouble. Big trouble, Kamal Miller.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader. 1080 The Fan, good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Monday, everybody.
What is happening?
Brutal weekend.
Brutal weekend.
Brutal weekend. Not good. I wish Therapy Tuesday's been a regular thing on the program.
Yeah. We need a Therapy Monday this week? Is that what you're telling me?
I definitely do.
I could use a Therapy Monday, too.
I don't know why, and maybe you'll get to this point. I hope you get to this point. I'd actually really enjoy it, because one, it'll change your life, and two, I'll get to chuck them like, I remember those days.
Just laugh at me. It used to be me.
Why I care so much emotionally, mentally, about winning or losing 7th, 8th grade girls basketball, I'll never understand.
Mustangs took a couple of tough L's this weekend.
Only took one L. We took a tough L.
Just didn't bring the energy, didn't bring the heat, did we not execute, was it coaching decisions?
Well, there was a lot of coaching problems.
Yeah, a little bit of a coaching issue.
My assistant couldn't show up. His entire family is sick.
Uh-oh.
I was down players.
That time of year, you're shorthanded. Guys or gals on the IL.
The other team had a 6'2" girl in 7th or 8th grade. I mean, she was guarding my kid who's 5'1". I'm just like, oh my God.
You're not getting a shot off in that situation.
Dude, she ripped her 3 times. I'm like, well, I don't know what to say. This isn't necessarily my kid's fault.
Go around her. Go around her.
And, yeah. You can't finish 0 for 10.
No.
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 It's how you lose by 2. You finish 0 for your last 10.
I've seen stretches 10. Like that. Yeah. It's at all levels.
An 0 for 10 stretch will usually bury you.
Especially when 6 of the 10 are point blank
range.
Just right
I think I can make them if you blindfolded me and I'm just like, ah!
You got a lot of Angel Reese's on your team, is that you're telling me?
We had a little Angel Reese moment.
Can't quite make those putbacks and grabbing rebounds in the paint. Go up! Go up!
No. And then I didn't call a timeout with 6 seconds left.
What are we doing?
Made a bad pass. I just was like, ah, I cost my team.
You froze in the moment. You panicked.
Nah.
Call a timeout.
Brandon Staley on everybody.
I think you did a little bit. You go for it on 4th down on your own 19-yard line.
I will say there is an element.
Up by 2? What are you doing,
There's an element of coaching.
I think they need to fire that coach. I think that's the lead topic of the show today.
Oh, I sent out a mass message. I'm sorry. Tell your girls they played hard. This is me.
This is on me.
Coach dropped the ball.
That's right. You stood up at the podium and you took the blame. That's what a good coach does.
There is a part of me doing this that does go, and I think professionally I go, am I really going to get on the mic and rip that guy? I don't know, man. I sucked this weekend. So what am I going to say? And that's 7th, 8th grade girls basketball.
Yeah. When Chance has a rough night on this road trip, we're just going to take it easy on him. You know, I know what you're going through, Chauncey. I've been there before. I love how, and this is universal, a boys basketball, girls basketball, everybody can remember the kids. There are kids who will dominate youth basketball for the sheer fact that they just hit a growth spurt earlier than everybody else.
Yeah.
And I almost feel bad for those kids because I feel like their ego and entitlement just grows.
The expectation changes.
Because they're so good. But in the vast majority of cases, they don't continue to grow at that clip. So eventually a lot of other kids catch up to him. And you go from being this like big, giant, I'm a 7-footer and you're all 5'8" and I can do whatever I want on the floor to then you're playing like high school basketball in 10 years and it's all evened out. You're no longer a foot taller than everybody, but everybody had a kid either that you played with or played against that was just like 8-9 inches taller than everybody, and there's nothing that you could do.
Hit their growth spurt in 7th grade.
Nothing that you
was
could
already
do in that situation.
6'1", starting to having to shave.
Yeah, little fuzzies, little hair coming in.
Yep.
I know the kid in my head. He's sticking out.
Well, the thing about today's game is
he dominated youth basketball.
Yeah, but you're asking your centers to be able to handle the ball and shoot. In the old days, you went down on the post and
stand
you, if you step out of the paint, you're sitting on the bench.
That's right.
Those days are long
gone.
You're
within 5 feet of the basket
the
entire game. Nobody's going to call three in the key. It's youth basketball. Just stand there and block shots.
I think I can say this because I actually don't know the kid's name. This kid had maybe 12 steals. Again, I'm not kidding. I think she was 6'1". She had maybe 12 steals. She went at least 0 or 1 for 15.
Ooh, that's rough.
I mean, she
had a rough game.
12 steals and like 9 breakaway layups that I don't even know if they touched the rim. So it was a mix of like, you're stealing our possessions, but you're not punishing us.
No.
And we should be winning this game. And it was brutal in that sense. So, like, it kind of made me feel better.
That's got to be frustrating for those parents, too, to be like, you got a golden ticket here, kid, to dominate some youth basketball. You just got to make a layup.
I told my wife, if I was, because I saw the parents, if I was the dad in the crowd watching my kid rip multiple players and then not finish one, I would be losing my mind.
Taking deep breaths.
Like,
pacing the baseline in front of that padded wall. Hitting the padded wall for every time they miss a layup.
Throw it, man!
It's a layup!
God!
Make the shot!
I do remember the kid. I think of a kid, too. I think you do. Swag, probably. Everybody thinks
my guy might
kid.
Be listening.
Hey.
Shout out Justin LaPointe.
What's up, Justin?
I didn't want to name
dominating youth basketball.
All right.
Now, how long did his run go? Did he? Did everybody catch up to him, or was he always the best?
Yeah, eventually, I think he's 6'2 or 6'3,
okay.
But he topped out.
He topped out, yeah.
Yeah.
That was an early peak of height.
Early peak.
And you're a foot taller than everybody.
So,
and I'm getting every rebound in this game.
The guy for us was, I remember him, he got there in 7th grade, and he was a new kid. He'd never been in the district, and he came in, and we're playing pickup, and he is just dominating the dojo. He's kind of fat, but also he's like 5'9".
Yeah.
And a lot of us are still like,
he's a mini Jokic.
Right. I look kind of a mini Jokic. Yeah. He could shoot. He could dribble.
5'9 at that age is big. 5'9 in general is above the American average. I would just like to point that out.
And like we're all thinking, oh my God, this, you know, all of us that had dreams of being a good player were like, oh, it's not going to matter now. He's going to dominate.
This guy's going to beat everybody.
And he eventually fizzled out and he didn't play at our high school. I don't even know where he went to high school. I ran into him like 3 or 4 years ago. I went to an Old Navy and I popped out and he saw me and he said, hey. And he's a really nice guy. And I said, hey, man, we caught up for a quick second. And I remember just standing there and I don't remember half of what he said because I just kept looking and I'm like looking down and I'm like, man,
wow. What happened to you?
You got shortchanged.
You did.
You stopped. Like I was a little just skinny little short kid.
Yeah.
At least I filled out a little bit and I grew. You're still tiny.
You hit that mark and you just stopped right there. That's why I feel bad for him because like if you're that age, imagine playing basketball against like a nephew of yours and just how dominant you would be. Now obviously you're better than the average 12 or 13 year old.
Sure.
But how good would that, like you would just dominate everything. Yeah. You're the best on the floor. Now the gal in your game this weekend, she needs to work on her layups and she would be that, but she's like a Ben Wallace of your league, it sounds like.
Basically,
she's going to be the depoy, but not bringing much on the offensive end of the floor.
Right.
But you would like, man, my ego would have been so big as a seventh grader if I was a foot taller than everybody else. Just like putting up easy layups. Nobody can defend you. You're blocking every shot in the paint. It's like you're playing against kids that are 5 years younger. But then when it all evens out, like that's a hard crash to happen, man.
It is. And there's a side note here, too, because I had an experience over the weekend. I don't know if Dirt hasn't gone through this yet. Swag may have missed the window for this because of the age of his kid. So I have an 8-year-old that's playing basketball for the first time. And it's, you know, it's everything you expect it to be. There's a lot of double dribbling.
Yeah.
Some girls are getting called for traveling. Other girls are just allowed to travel the whole game.
I'm just like, what are we doing here?
I don't really know how we're dictating these calls.
Come on, Zebra! Yelling at the official.
But this weekend is my kid's turn for snacks.
Snack weekend.
And so I'm at the local Costco, and I think you're going to experience this maybe even worse than I am.
Yeah.
And I have to buy snacks. It's her turn. It's a big deal. And I'm at Costco, and they have what I would label the health snack area,
which
at my Costco is near the register. And so I'm weaving in and out of aisles here, which is like at that Costco is kind of a disaster because it's not very wide.
No, that spot's mass chaos.
There's some reason there's two sample areas, and it doesn't make sense to put them there. That's just my two cents. And so I'm weaving in and out of these aisles and for legitimately 15 real minutes, not an exact 15 minutes, because I'm like, oh, I'm going to grab, well, maybe somebody has peanut allergies.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to grab. Oh, are these kids gluten intolerant? And I'm like,
thinking about it the entire time.
I'm going to get this. Wait, is it too sugary?
Can't do that.
Okay. I'm going to get, zero. Is there an anti-aspartame family? And now I'm like 15 minutes dirt.
Can't even decide what you want to get.
I don't know what to buy. No. I heard it last year. My kid's gluten intolerant. My kid has a nut allergy. Not a tree, a nut. Okay.
There you go.
My kid likes sugar. My kid does, and I
can't go wrong with apples.
Dude, no, but see, you don't want to be the boring parent. Apple slices. Oh, a cutie or like I didn't want to be the boring parent either. So I'm like, I'm debating. And you know what I did? I said, you know what? Sprager, you grew up on Capri Suns.
You're damn right you did.
And Lunchables or the cheese, the long breadsticks that you dip in cheese.
Oh, those are delightful.
And I said, to hell with these people. And I grabbed the box of Oreos. Every kid's getting a packed sleeve of Oreos. Right, and I don't care.
No,
I don't care.
They're kids. They just got done playing a basketball game.
When did snack choice become such a just dilemma?
I don't even know how, like, because I feel like when I played youth basketball, I don't remember snacks being a thing after the game. Like, soccer, there was always
orange slices.
And Capri Suns. Yes. Like, that was a thing.
Now, baseball and soccer, I know we got
baseball,
it.
Baseball, there'd be something like somebody would bring popsicles on a hot summer day.
I don't remember anything of basketball.
Neither do I. Basketball and football never had snacks.
Other than Gatorade.
How young did you play, though? Because I didn't start playing basketball in like actual league stuff until fourth or fifth grade?
Second
or third grade, I think, is when I started.
And you don't remember getting a snack?
I don't ever remember getting a snack.
Wow.
Like, maybe the team would go somewhere after the game.
Yeah, you go to like a Pietro's or something.
Because the other thing is, the teams were pretty small. We only had like 8 or 9 kids per team.
We were a Burgerville baseball team when I was in third grade, so because of that, we got to go to Burgerville and get one free cheeseburger.
Yeah, you go get a cheeseburger after a game. Yeah. You go sit down as a team.
Yeah.
Go to a place with a milkshake. Go to like a Mike's Drive-In and get a milkshake or something.
Right.
We would do stuff like that. I don't remember snacks. And this is also an unfair burden. Like, why are we even doing snacks after the game? You can't bring your own snacks?
Well, also, it's like,
You don't eat together.
No, because usually in every game I've been to of my niece and nephew, it is you're in a public gym.
Mm-hmm.
Your game is over.
You need to get the hell out.
And what happens? The next team, the second that clock hits zero, they're going through a layup line, and you're like standing in a weird corner trying to do a like, all right, everybody chant, go team, go. Give out your snacks, and everybody just needs to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And you end up taking your snack to the car. Why don't you buy your own kid your own snack? Then you don't got to worry about allergies.
Well, I'm with you there. I don't disagree with the take.
Let me start this trend. If I coach Teddy Ball Games team, you're bringing your own snacks, damn it. I'm not providing snacks for anybody.
Well, we did a weird thing where our season started, and again, 7th, 8th graders, and the first week came, and I'm like, oh, as a coach, I didn't send out snack stuff. So I bought, like, an orange and a granola bar and a Gatorade.
Yeah.
And I said, here, thanks, good job. And then I didn't actually delegate snack time. So we've had, like, 2 weeks of snacks and then no snacks.
No snacks. And now you feel like you're back on the hook for more snacks?
The older kids, no. I think snack's over. Yeah. The younger kids, yeah, everybody's doled out and signed up for snack weekend.
Too many snacks, man.
Well, that's a fair point. The dilemma of what you buy.
Well, this is the problem.
Because some parents, I don't let my kid have Red Dye 5. And I'm like, you grew up on Red Dye 5 and you're still breathing.
You're still alive. Yeah. You're still here.
I know Joe Rogan probably told you it's bad.
How many packs of Red Vines did you put away as a youth?
Hey, how about this? You don't want the snack? You throw it in the trash on the way out. Or how about you put it back in the cooler and I'll eat it when I get home because I'm not opposed to Red Dye 5.
I don't know what they're going to do with those Oreos, but every kid's getting a sleeve. I don't care.
A little Dirt would have been pretty psyched to get a sleeve of Oreos.
A sleeve of Oreos?
After a basketball game, like driving back home in the minivan, I would have been psyched to be eating some Oreos.
You sports, man. It's just take, and then you talk to other parents. It's just, you're plugged in. You're in the system. They've got you by the hooks. It's like, are you going to this AAU thing? Are you going to do the non-league league?
Are you going to do travel? Are you going to do off-season hoops now?
You kind of, I hate to say this.
Do you want your kid to play in the WNBA or not, Sprague?
Well, she's not going to get to the WNBA. I'm realistic in that way. But like, I want her to play in high school. And if like she doesn't do certain things, she's probably not going to get picked because, God forbid, your coach not know who you are.
She's almost there. She's almost ready for high school basketball.
She's getting to that. Yeah,
now the varsity coach is going to come start checking out AAU tournaments. We got to get scouting reports here.
Dude, Martell.
She can't go to her left. What are we doing?
Martell Webster's daughter plays on our high school varsity team.
Uh-huh.
Holy crap.
She got skills?
Bro, this girl is going to be an Oregon
She could
duck,
be a problem.
Probably.
Let's go, baby.
She's doing behind-the-back like moves in the game around defenders and finishing layups, and I'm just like, oh, my God. Who's your dad?
Martell Webster. Oh, you got some good genes there.
She's amazing.
You're going along. I bet she takes great pictures, too.
Well,
just got the whole family gene pool.
Just ocean photos.
Just snapping beautiful photos and going behind the back, man. Good to be a Webster.
Well, I hope everybody else's weekend was good. I'm sorry I took up the whole segment with my weekend.
It's okay. My rant would have been how much moving sucks and how miserable my weekend was. So
I survived three nights in Stockton, so all's good.
Yeah.
Good job, Whitey.
We did it. We're here.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to. Michael Duarte is going to be our ticker guest at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford might be traded.
He could be traded.
I also want to ask him the USC spring game. Does that matter to anybody in LA not having it? So
probably
we'll
not. I don't think anybody goes to the real games anyway, so I don't think anybody's going to their spring game. But
Daily Ticker at 8 a.m. today. Loaded show. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you. We had to go next. Dirt and Spray on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your Portland Trailblazers are red hot and rolling again. We'll get to them coming up at 7.
We're back, baby!
I have done a 180 on somebody in sports.
Ooh.
Like, flip-flop. A pretty big 180.
That's a pretty strong 180.
I don't think I can convince you to also do a 180, but I did a 180, and I want to talk about it at 6:30.
I can't wait.
You know, God bless ESPN. Swag and I were talking about this before the game. I would have been miserable had I been in the city. But God bless ESPN saying, you know what? Let's do a Sunday night NBA doubleheader. Minnesota OKC started 8:30 Minnesota time.
That's a late game.
On a Sunday.
That's a late one right there.
Anybody great basketball game.
And it was a great game. Anybody doing a morning radio show in Minnesota the next morning or Minneapolis the next morning, you're watching those highlights. You're not staying up for the end of that game.
I would also probably say, having listened to a little bit of Minnesota sports radio, they're probably doing 3/4 of their show on the NFL draft and Sam Darnold.
What should the Minnesota Vikings do? Even though they might have one of the next faces of the NBA. I know they've been wildly disappointing this year.
They've had a bad year.
Have not taken that next step that everybody imagined. That is late, dude. That is a late, late start to a basketball game.
Yeah, but I mean,
we need to normalize earlier start. What the hell was ESPN doing all day? Why do we start so late?
Like, I say that, but
what do they have on Sunday mornings?
I don't care. That was great for you and I. It was a 6:30 start. I did my gambling show till 6.
For us, it's fine, yeah.
And I'm like, I looked at my phone and I thought there was a glitch. I'm like, 6:30 start?
Excuse me? What?
I was happy.
Yeah, that's a kind of random start time. You don't see a lot of those across the league.
Well, ABC had a doubleheader.
It also ran a little
like
late. 10
a.m. and 12:30.
Ah, that's right. Mavs and Warriors and Knicks and Celtics.
And so you had that. And then ESPN had a doubleheader because Cleveland and
Memphis
was right before that.
A little brouhaha.
Yeah.
That was a nice little fight in that game, yeah.
Ty Jerome, welcome back.
Ty Jerome. He's been in the NBA the entire time.
I know.
He's always been there.
I saw the Knicks lose to the Celtics, and I did kind of chuckle. I do like the Knicks are good. It makes the NBA more fun to have the garden buzzing.
Yeah, bing bong, it's more entertaining.
But I continue to go back, and I look at the East, and I'm like, Cleveland, and that's it. And I love Giannis, Dame, my guy over there in Milwaukee. I don't think there's any other team that can even sniff Boston in the East except Cleveland, and I don't think Cleveland can beat Boston in the series.
One of the best things that the NBA's had going for it that doesn't get enough attention or discussion is the fact that it went from being a league that you knew basically at the start of the year who was going to win the NBA championship every year,
sure,
or at least who was going to play for an NBA championship every year, to now, what do we have, 5 straight years, I believe, with a different champion every single season?
5 straight, yeah.
So you're on 5 straight years. There's a vibe this year, and you had it, I think, early in the season where it felt like, hey, Boston, a little vulnerable. Porzingis is banged up.
Sure.
They're not really caring. There's a little bit of that hangover off of winning a championship. The way that they've played now, seemingly for the last 2 months, I'm starting to get that inevitable feeling about them, and I hope I'm wrong.
No, you should.
Because I'd love to see another team win again, and just to continue that streak, 6 in a row would be great. I have that feeling though about Boston.
I don't know how many teams in the West people would look at and say
this amount of teams can win the West. Yep. It may just be, if you watched Oklahoma City, and there's going to be a portion of our audience, maybe the majority, that's like, oh, no thank you, Oklahoma City, the Thunder. They are unbelievable. And the Luka LeBron thing looked great on Saturday night, beating Denver to a pulp. But Denver's kind of wonky. The Lakers, yeah. I don't know if the Lakers, as good as they're playing defensively and how that looked with Luka LeBron, with Luka having his best game. And Memphis, Memphis kind of feels very similar to the year they were the 2 seed and they lost to the Lakers as a 7 seed. It just feels a little fraudulent. I don't know if I trust Memphis as a 2 seed.
I tend to agree with you there.
So, I kind of look at the standings, and it's not to dismiss every team to say they can't compete, but it really has a feel that Boston, Oklahoma City are on a collision course.
Yes.
And I think Oklahoma City is a fun story. I think they're incredible. SGA is probably going to win the league MVP.
Having Chet back is a huge boost for them.
It absolutely is. And what they did in the second half with SGA coming back in the fourth quarter, I just look at Boston. I say when Boston needs to play a game against a good team, they're going to win. They are absolutely loaded. Tatum is hitting another level defensively. Take the Knicks. They beat the Knicks yesterday. Some think the Knicks are a contender in the East. I haven't particularly subscribed to that. The Knicks are now 0-7 straight up against the top three teams in the NBA, the Celtics, the Cavs, and the Thunder.
That's not a good stat.
And they're not close in these games.
No.
They end up losing these games largely by double digits. So
no, it's not competitive.
It's not. I don't think it has to be a bad thing, but Boston looks like a team that definitely, in my mind, I would label the favorite. And then after that, it's like Cleveland, maybe a chance. Oklahoma City looks like an engine right now. And I know Luka LeBron, some want to throw Steph and Jimmy Butler in this thing because they've started to kind of turn this. They stomped the Mavs this weekend. But I just look at the West and there's something a little off about Denver, as good as Jokic is. I don't trust Memphis. I don't trust Houston. Minnesota, I don't trust that. So the Clippers, no thank you, not buying that. It feels like Oklahoma City, Boston are kind of on a collision course right now in my mind, but I'm still excited for some of the matchups that could be happening in the playoffs.
I mean, it could be wildly entertaining, especially if you get certain teams, you give me something L.A.-Dallas related, it would be great.
What if I give you L.A. and OKC West Finals?
That'd be awesome.
They would play in the second round right now if both.
Even if you give me that in the second round, I'd still be thrilled with that series. That'd be a lot of fun. It'd be great for the league. The only one that I'm still lingering out hope for of throwing a wrench in this plan, because I agree with you 99% of the way, OKC seems unbeatable in the West, Boston seems that way in the East right now, despite how good Cleveland has been. Denver's the only one that's sticking out to me. It's like I stepped on a splinter, and every time I step down, I'm like, yeah, don't forget about Denver.
It's Jokic. He is
having
historic season.
Yeah. One of the best seasons in the history of the NBA. He's not going to win the MVP.
He might. He's in the running.
He should win the MVP. The guy's having the best year of his career.
I would argue SGA should, but that's where...
Sure.
I don't know what the difference in that
argument
is.
That's a Lamar,
is.
Josh Allen,
it's very similar.
Both
yes.
of them are... They're yes. both deserving of winning the MVP. I mean, the guy's shooting almost 45% from three this year.
It's unbelievable.
And I think we look back to last year in the playoffs for them. They're a slightly different team, and I know there's concerns elsewhere on the roster that maybe didn't exist for them last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they inexplicably lost a Game 7 at home to Minnesota. And that was a team, by the way, that had 2 7-footers that built their entire roster with one goal. And that goal was, we need to beat Jokic and we need to beat Denver.
And that was a second-half collapse.
Second-half collapse in Game 7 at home. That just doesn't happen very often. And so they're 2 quarters away from going to the conference finals. If they do that, I would have bet them to beat Dallas. Now, I don't know if they would have beaten Dallas, but I would have bet them to win that series. And it's just interesting to think how differently we feel about them. To me, he is the best player on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're the best player on the planet with a relatively good roster around you, I'm just going to give you a puncher's chance to win anything that's ahead of you.
Now, what would you guys do? Denver, LA gives the best fight to OKC. Maybe Memphis. I feel like I am kind of disrespecting Memphis. They are the 2 seed in the West, to be fair. Houston's not ready. They're a young team. We can see what's going to happen there.
Not quite there yet.
The Clippers, nobody's buying the Clippers. Their best player is, old James Harden or Norm Powell? Minnesota, nope.
Nope.
Dallas, I just don't know with AD. AD coming back and being healthy would help their
argument.
It'd
be interesting. They'd be really good defensively.
I think Golden State could win a first-round series if they're not the 8 seed.
Yeah. You're not beating OKC in the first round.
But if it was Memphis, Golden State.
I'd give you a chance there.
I'd give them a shot.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
And nobody's going to, like, Sacramento, get out of here. Nobody, no. You know, whatever.
Will they even make it?
I know I'm disrespecting our Blazers, who are red hot and rolling right
yes,
now.
Yes. Don't sleep on our potential 10 seed Blazers.
4.5 out of the play-in. God.
OKC has the best point differential in the entire NBA
at
13.
Why'd you have to say that this early on a Monday?
They are 25-3 at home. They're 20-7 on the road. Yeah. Is there a best team for you, Swag, that you look at in the West and says you think they can beat them? Or is this for you also, I think Oklahoma City's getting past everybody.
I like OKC over just about everybody. Denver presents a matchup problem.
Because
In terms of styles make fights, Denver causes them more problems than I think the Lakers do.
Really? Because Luka, he beat this Thunder team last year.
No, I know.
He's a fat ass. Nobody's scared of Luka.
I think
the entire league is scared of Luka when he steps on the court.
I think the Nuggets present a particular matchup problem for them that they have to come up with a different solution for.
It's a bummer the East, by the way, because Boston, give them credit, they're the 2 seed, and Cleveland's had a great year.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer the way you look at the East, and I don't know if I'm alone in this.
I hope to be wrong. I would love to be wrong in that take.
They feel so much better than the rest of that conference.
Feels like they're going to steamroll
away. If Cleveland has home court, And they build through the playoffs. The thing for Cleveland will be they would have to win 2 playoff series before they get to Boston, and maybe they're into a playoff mode and a rhythm, and they have home court advantage.
They might have the
Donovan Mitchell's
in round
had
two.
Nice moments in the postseason too. Like he's had really good moments in the playoffs.
But Cleveland, could you imagine Cleveland getting Milwaukee round two? For your best player thing, like the best player in that series would be Giannis.
You give me a healthy Giannis and a healthy Dame in the playoffs, they could get there.
Dame's the third best player.
I'm not picking him to be Boston, but if you're Milwaukee and you're healthy, they got a great chance to get to the conference
finals. You give him a shot.
Absolutely.
A 180 on this guy in sports, and it happened this weekend. Next on The Fan. A good point from a listener here. Trying to avoid speaking on LeBron, Luka, Curry, and Butler. Winning a series, not a game or two. Those four are tough out. No doubt. I just don't look at Golden State's depth and think they can win more than a series. And I give LeBron and Luka a shot to get to the West Finals. And I'm not saying that Oklahoma City would sweep them, because I give respect to LeBron, obviously, and Luka. But I just think if you watch Oklahoma City, I know they don't have another superstar with SGA.
Yeah.
But damn it, they got a superstar in SGA and a whole lot of great players.
No weaknesses on the roster.
And they all know what their role on that team is, and that is such an underrated part, too.
When I would look at LA the last couple of years, too, and not that LeBron hasn't won playoff series, not that they haven't gotten, I think, one of the years they got to the conference finals. I think last year was, second-round loss, if I'm not mistaken.
I think last year was a first-round.
Was that an early one? That's right, they lost to Denver, but
it was
competitive.
The West Finals.
So they've won, but he had Anthony Davis with him, and I think sometimes we disrespect Anthony Davis a little bit, but you look at some of the numbers he put up in those playoff games. When he's healthy, he's as good as anybody in the league. And so LeBron has another running mate, different now with Luka than it was with Anthony Davis. I think the tough part with LA is what's the rest of the roster and how much of those guys do you trust, and how much does not having a trade for a center at the deadline going to backfire on him in the playoffs?
I think ultimately that's where they'll fail, but the difference in them now, you mentioned AD, who was great. Although it was kind of canceled out because Jokic was better.
Yep.
And now in a weird way, if you watch that game Saturday, not that one regular season game should change how you feel of LA Denver. You look around the Nuggets and you go, okay, Murray's starting to kind of find himself, but he's largely not been very good.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Gordon is shooting, I think, 42% from three. And he's in the dunker spot. Yes. But, who else is scaring you?
Nobody.
Is Russ Westbrook scaring you? He's having
nobody.
A good year. But
yeah, he's been better than advertised, but nobody else is scaring you.
Right. So, and now LeBron and Luka are more perimeter-based. And then you say, who do they? Austin Reeves has been pretty damn good. Rui Hachimura has been great defensively for them. Jared Vanderbilt just came back from his injury. I know some of these names don't matter a whole ton, but I think the way they're built so differently from the LeBron AD thing with this Luka stuff, it makes it really interesting. I was watching Saturday night. I watched that game, and then I'm just on a hoops kick. I'm coaching basketball right now. It's hoop season. I sat down and I started watching. Have you seen the U.S. Olympic docuseries on Netflix.
I have not yet, but I've heard really good things. I am a little against it because it's too soon.
I think if you watch it, you wouldn't feel that way.
Okay. I've seen clips and highlights on Twitter. I just watched all of that this summer, and I'm a fan of, in documentaries, let's let it breathe for a little bit and then make the documentary.
You know who made the doc?
Who made the doc?
The Obamas.
Yeah, it's one of their... Yeah, he's in it. I know that.
He went and talked
to the team.
Yeah, he's in partially an episode, but it was... I was with you when you said that. I think you said it off the air last week on Thursday or Friday, and I was kind of
I feel like we're
you.
Doing that with a lot of sports documentaries now. It's like, this team just won a championship. Here's your 7-part documentary series. Like, dude, I just saw the season. I know that they won the time. Steph hit the game winner. I know all of that happened. I watched it.
Look, Bill Simmons has made some really good stuff. He's got one coming out soon, and it's just the Boston Celtics, and I'm just like, no.
I'm so tired of the Boston stuff.
I just...
How many Celtics documentaries do we need? How many Red Sox Yankees documentaries do we need?
It's going to go from black and white basketball to this past year's. I don't care.
No, thank you.
Boston Celtics has been really good.
Really good for a really long time. Yeah. Yeah. Larry Bird was good. Bill Russell was good. Yeah.
Tatum, Pierce, Garnett.
They've won a lot of championships.
I don't know if you knew that.
Wow.
Have a check still on the ball. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've heard that a million times in my life.
Seen that documentary 37 times.
But I was open to it and I watched, and it's not just about the USA team. It actually shows the Serbia
team.
The
other teams, yeah.
And if there's any takeaway I had, man, it was one of these.
It's Trump time.
We're buying France. We're making France a state. I hate France now. Dude, France hates us.
We're going to get France. Bring it on. Freedom fries again? Is that what you're telling me?
I already
no longer French fries?
Evan Fournier?
Yeah.
I hate him even more. He was ass-talking on this thing. And I, having already known the result of what happened, I'm like chuckling, and my wife's like, what? And I'm like, this guy running his mouth. Who is he to run his mouth? And Kevin Durant, I've done a 180.
Yeah.
I'm all in. You should watch this. And I know this clip, I want to play this clip from this one circulated on social media, and I'm sure you already and many people who are on social media, you may have heard this already because I thought this was really good. But I want to dive a little further into KD. This happened. This one circulated. This was in this episode I watched. One of the episodes I watched. Kevin Durant talking about what the Olympics means to him and just what basketball means to him.
I come from neighborhoods where people don't even talk to each other. Like, so much hate in the world, too. Like, when you finally, when people get to start laughing and joking for the game of ball, like, it's cool to me. So, like, it get me emotional, dog. Like, my bad. Because it's crazy to see. Because, like, it's crazy to see a pick somebody say they travel so long to come see their favorite player play in the Olympics. They spend their money. They bring their whole family. Like, it's just dope to me. The game just saved my life, so it brought me and my family out of a lot of bull. So I'm just, like, grateful for it. For real.
He also, they play Evan Fournier basically saying, I hope they bring their best. We want to beat them when they have their best.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And they're telling Kevin Durant what Evan Fournier is saying. And he goes, yeah, you guys play together every offseason. Cool. You going to stop Steph? Me? Bron? And it's, dude, I know the Warrior stuff rub people, and it still does, the wrong way on him. He's been team hopping. He's probably going to be on a different team next year. And yeah.
At least he stopped that at the deadline. He nixed all sorts of trades. They were trying to get him again.
I had a real human moment watching him in this doc because I'm just like, man, is he not the definition of a human being in general of just what social media can do to people? How you could be on it so much, be addicted to it. At the end of the day, that dude loves that sport as much as any human that has breathed oxygen. And I, maybe it was just the defense of USA, but listening to him talk of like, cool, you guys play in these systems and circuits. Good luck with your chemistry against us. There was such a brash cockiness.
An American confidence.
Yeah, but you know, when you listen to Evan Fournier, you're like, you love it. You're like, shut him up. And then he shut him up. And I'm a 180 on him. I don't know where he's going to be next year. He's clearly not going to be in Phoenix. I don't know how we define legacy stuff. He's in the top 7, I think, of scoring. All like, whatever, all that. I've done a 180 on him. I'm all in. My wife's like, why do you not like him? He seems awesome. And I'm
like, a nice guy.
I know. It's really weird. I don't know why I do what I do. The Warrior thing did piss me off.
I mean, he ruined the NBA for 2.5 years.
Yeah, I know. But also, for how many years did he hear how he can't win the big one? He's not capable. Okay, put me on a good, give me better teammates and see what, okay, I can win.
Yeah.
It's too good at teammates. I did a 180 on KD this weekend. I was not prepared for it. But I thought it was really well done so far. I haven't finished it, but I got about halfway through. And he has an episode that's almost all him. And I love it, man. KD was awesome.
I feel like there's two different KDs in my head. The KD that is on social media is one of the funniest follows out there. He is, the way he just roasts and goes back and forth with random people, and people will talk S to him and he'll respond to it. And in a really hilarious way, people send him all the time, like, you didn't hit your over-under on this. He's like, why do you got a gambling problem? The responses that he has to random people on social media, the interviews in that light that you see, genuinely love him. I also feel like there's a different side of it of, there's a competitive nature of the decision that he made that I'll never be able to get over. Going and joining a team that you lost to is something that I'll never be able to square in my head. And I feel like he even acknowledges that. I think that's why it was so emotional in this Olympics to win that gold medal, to have this win. It was another championship. And the way that they won it, the way that he played in big moments, there was a clip of the Serbian team talking about him and trying to defend him.
Their first game against
just
Serbia.
In an absolute pretzel, like not knowing what to do. Like, got to close out. Why is nobody picking up KD? And he just had him in a blender. So he's an unbelievable basketball player. He's one of the best scorers of all time. But there's a part of that decision to go to Golden State that I'll never 180 on that.
I totally get it because we lived through it.
I love him personally. He's a hilarious dude. I love his interviews. I love he's super into giving gambling picks in the NFL. He does it every week with Kay Adams. His social media stuff is fantastic.
He just has such a raw, genuine, even if you don't always agree.
Oh, absolutely.
Nature,
just a love of basketball, a love of hooping,
like,
that you can genuinely appreciate.
He doesn't want any, even though it probably gets to him at some points because he is on social media so much, he has such a, I don't care what your narratives are on TV today are. Like, we're debating about if basketball the worst it's ever been, or the All-Star game's broken, the NHL's better, and he's like, then watch hockey. I don't care.
Go watch hockey. Seems like it's a fun sport.
I play basketball, and I just want to play basketball. And there is something to, I talk to a lot of parents about this with youth sports. There is something to needing a person like KD that's just like, it's just ball is life. I just care about basketball, man. And I'm telling you, I get that it may be too soon. It was really well, the first half of the season that I've watched,
I'll watch it eventually.
Well done.
Yeah.
And I think you're eventually going to have either soon or randomly when it's like June.
Nothing going on.
You're going to just be like, yeah, 180 on KD. The raw nature of that episode, I think it's the second episode that he's in that's largely about him and his mom. My God.
Yeah.
What a dude. And I've done a 180 on him. So I forgive you for the Warrior stuff. You got your rings. Your legacy is cemented. All-time best Olympic player to exist in human history. And just genuine advocate of the game. And that's what I love.
Ruined a core four sport for 2 years, man. Screw KD! Screw!
How about that road win by your Ducks?
Hey, how about those Duckies?
Let's talk about that a little bit next on The Fan. Play D they did, indeed, at the end there. Joey Mack, Oregon IMG on the call. Oregon goes on the road at number 11 Wisconsin this weekend. They outscore the Badgers 40-28 in the second half, and they win in overtime 77-73.
How you like them apples?
Yeah, how do you like them apples?
We're back, baby. People left us for dead. Nobody was giving us a chance. Now look at us.
Good game from Tracy. Biddle continues his good play. Shellstad was obviously amazing. He had that big shot at the end there. Bartholomew was really good. Like, overall, good collective team effort for your Duckies on the road against Wisconsin.
Dude, it was a massive weekend, man. They very easily could have lost to Iowa, and they very easily could have lost to Wisconsin. And if you lose both those games, I don't know what the conversation would have been today.
You're 18-10.
I don't know where your tournament chances are, although you are in the Big Ten. So, 74 teams from the Big Ten are going to be in the tournament this year, so maybe you still make it at that point. I think their net rating now is up to, 32?
They're in.
They're locked to make the tournament now for this weekend in Wisconsin.
Have the second or third most quad
Auburn
win ones.
Is the only team in the country with more quad one wins than Oregon this year.
Yeah.
So, you have that on your resume. You're going to be in. Now it's a question of how do you do not only the rest of the regular season, what do you do in the conference tournament, and then what seed do you end up being? They do have that vibe, though, of a team that you just really wouldn't want to play.
Well, like every Dana Altman team to ever exist.
Yeah, I mean, you end up in like a, let's say they end up like a 7 seed, which sure. I don't know, maybe they slide into a 6 spot, but you end up being a 7 seed. If you're able to win that 7-10 matchup, they're that 7 seed that you look at if you're a 2 seed and say, ah, oh, damn it, I don't want to play them because they have the ability to do this. Now, they've thrown some absolute clunkers out there here in the last month and a half, so maybe you get the bad version of Oregon. Shellstad was awesome. You mentioned Bartholomew. He hit a bunch of big shots late in that game.
Yes, he did.
Biddle's been the driving force for them.
Evans
was really good for them off the bench. It's been nice to see him improve kind of as the season has gone on. So that was a game. I mean, you were down by, what, 15?
17 in
17
the second half.
With like 9 minutes to go in the game.
I was 15 with seven, and I remember thinking,
left for dead. That game's over.
When Wisconsin hit a shot, I think it was 62-47.
Yeah.
And there was about 7 minutes left. I remember thinking, well, this one's...
The latest bracketology there, Joey Brackets, has the Ducks as an 8 seed against Baylor. And Alabama's the 1 seed who they beat.
Already beat them once,
Vegas.
Go beat them again.
Wouldn't want to play them again.
We want Bama.
I think Bama's pretty damn good, but you did beat them earlier this year. You're right now the 8 seed in the Big Ten. You lose the tiebreaker to Illinois, obviously, because they came to Eugene and stomped them. But
they did.
They're right there within, you know, Illinois drops a game, they pick one up. And they're still, you know, they're not going to catch Purdue here with the.
I mean, their last three games are all winnable games, too. The Huskies suck. Indiana at home is a winnable game, and USC at home is a winnable game.
Washington's the worst in that conference.
Yeah,
Washington
is terrible. They will not be in the Big Ten tournament.
They're not sprinkling this year. They paid like $8 million from one guy, though.
Work now?
The top 15 teams get in.
Yeah,
so
not
the
everybody goes.
Three
they don't
out.
Even get to go.
I forgot about
you know, where is it at? Chicago? Where do they play the Big Ten?
Indianapolis this year.
Why is everything in Indianapolis? I mean, at least they're moving media days next year.
Yeah, media
see that
days
going to
in
Vegas.
Vegas.
Why is everything in Indianapolis? Nobody wants to go to Indianapolis.
It's a central hub for all these teams.
This is stupid.
The traditional
it's
teams.
A convention city. Yeah. You can walk to
they
the arena from all those ginormous hotels right downtown.
Go to Chicago.
Then you walk
go to
the
United
Elmo,
Center.
Get a steak,
what are we doing,
get some
man?
Cocktail. Yeah. Life's good.
Boy, the sprinkle, not a good year.
Rough first year for the old sprinkler, Yikes. Man. He's not his lawn is not getting watered right now.
It sure isn't. You give him a shot, like, honestly, do you give him a shot to win that conference tournament, or do you still think that
probably
they're...
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, I would love it. It would be pretty damn funny to win the Big Ten in football and basketball in the first year in the conference. I would quite enjoy that. I'm sure Wisconsin fans now, you always wonder, like, how long it's going to take for rivalries to form. In this new-look college landscape, the way that they beat Wisconsin in football and then that win in basketball, the only time they're playing them this year, now maybe they end up getting them in the conference tournament at some point. So that might end up being a rivalry, and we've beaten Wisconsin a bunch in Rose Bowls over the years. You look at the heavy hitters. Michigan State is legitimate. We've seen Michigan. That was Michigan game was
you
a
hung
game
with
they could
Michigan.
Have won. They could have won both the Michigan State and Michigan game. Those were games that were back and forth that could have gone the other direction.
You guys beat Maryland.
We beat Maryland this year.
Illinois Purdue where Purdue was a little closer. Illinois is a bad matchup.
It's
for
just
them.
A gauntlet, man. Yeah. It's going to be. I'd love to see it. Purdue is a tough matchup. I would love to see them win the conference tournament. It's a nice feeling though knowing. Now that you've solidified a couple of these wins after that midseason swoon, that it doesn't really matter what happens. If you win it, that's great. You're just going to help your seeding.
But you're in either way.
But you're in the tournament either way. And you got three winnable games the rest of the way. You got a chance to be, 23-8 regular season. That's a hell of a year in your first year in the Big Ten. But we're firing Dane Altman still. We still going to fire Dane Altman?
The thin hitter wonder from Central Point, Oregon.
Still going to fire Dane Altman? We still want Dane Altman gone? We still going to fire him?
Nate Biddle, all-time balding college player. Just amazing.
Yes.
What was the kid from Kansas a few years ago? We felt like he was 46. His hairline was in the middle of his head. What was that kid's name? Was
it a big guy?
Was it Perry?
Perry Mason?
Or Ellis?
I want to say Perry Mason.
Perry Ellis?
Which
Perry
one?
Ellis.
You said yeah. Was that his name?
Yes.
Perry Ellis?
Just gave you a yes.
I know. He just said yes.
I think it was Perry Ellis.
Dude, I know he only played 4 years at Kansas, but it felt like an eternity.
Yeah.
He reminds me of him. He maybe is a better player, Biddle, but...
He's now 31 years old. Seems like he was just at
Nate
Kansas.
Nate Biddle?
No. It looks like it. Perry Ellis is now 31 years old.
Great mullet. I just love that Biddle's grown.
One of our P1s, RC, he had a tweet over the weekend, Ryan, who put a picture of Theo Vaughn next to Biddle. And they're like, they look identical.
They do look identical. One's hair is going to, I think, be gone quicker than the
one
other
one. Guy's going to hold on to his hair a hair longer than the
Probably
other one.
Probably has the money to hold on to it, too,
yes.
In case things go bad.
Go get a Turkish transplant if he needs it.
Boy, history was made over the weekend, wasn't it? We'll get to that. Kick off hour number 2, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, and YouTube.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.